morning right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. At 10:30, you can catch it over on WWBC 1510 AM. And we look forward to hearing from you if you are a listener. If you've got any prayer requests or praise reports that you would like to share with us, you can email those to us at meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly at hotmail.com. You can check us out on our website, meritassembly.com. You can find us on Facebook, that's Merit Assembly of God, and you can see a number of our live streams that are there. So that would give you a little bit of a glimpse into who we are. And then you can go back if you really want to find out an extensive amount about us. This program has been airing since the last week of October of 2013. So we're coming up on 8 years of being with you here Monday through Friday. And you can go back and listen to all of those programs, download them, do whatever you want to with them. You just have to visit WMIEFM.com and go to Listen on Demand, and it pops up a date there. It says select a date, gives you all of the programs that aired that day. And you can find out, you know, what we have been saying for years now. So we are in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter today, Isaiah 42. And it says in verse number 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." So yesterday we talked about his identity, Jesus' identity as a servant that is upheld by the Father, chosen by the Father, in whom the Father delighted. "Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. I have put my spirit upon him." That happened when John the Baptist baptized him and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Now it says, because of all of those things, it talks about what this servant is going to do. Remember, this is serving God, and how he serves God impacts society. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Now, that term Gentile basically means anyone who wasn't Jewish. It was people who were living outside of the covenant. And all you've got to do is read through the New Testament and look at how Jesus confronts the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and the teachers and everyone about their attitude toward people who were not Jewish. I want you to know that God is very glad that you are a part of his family. He's thankful that he got to adopt you into his family. But he is not pleased when we have an us for and no more mindset. He is not pleased whenever we say, you know what, we're not going to reach that group of people. Somebody else will have to reach that group of people. You know, several years ago, I was asked by someone, they said, you know, well, what is the congregational makeup of Merit Assembly of God? And they said, do you have young people? Yes. Do you have old people? Yes. Do you have white people? Yes. Do you have African Americans? Yes. And everything that they started naming off, the answer was yes. And, you know, there became something that was very popular back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that was, well, you've got to narrow your focus. You need to just focus on a very small spectrum. And I was like, I can't find that. I just can't find that in the Word of God. And so here it says that Jesus was going to bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Do you know that there were times when the religious leadership got upset at Jesus because he said things like this? You know, there were a lot of widows in Israel during the famine that didn't get taken care of, but the widow of Zarephath did. And they were like, well, we don't like that at all. One of my favorite biblical characters is a person that I can't tell you her name. She was a prisoner of war. She was carried off into captivity by a guy by the armies and ended up serving a guy by the name of Naaman, who was a servant to the king, a commander in the army, and had probably been very instrumental in defeating the people of Israel. And carried off this little girl, meaning probably her father was dead and her mother was dead. And this little girl said, you know, if you were in Israel, my God could heal you. And I just love that this little girl was not victimized by her the events that had happened to her in her life. That they were part of her life, but they were not the most important part. And she operated out of compassion for Naaman because he was dealing with something that there was no known cure for. Birthed hope in him and ended up being the result of a major miracle that took place because this little girl spoke up and said, God wants to heal not just Jewish people, but God wants to heal people, period. He wants to save people, period. Rich people, poor people, you name it. Anywhere on the spectrum, Jesus loves you and gave his life for you. And so it says here, my servant is going to bring justice, and it's not just going to touch the people of God, but it is going to touch Roman centurions. It's going to touch Canaanite women or Syrophoenician women. It's going to touch their daughters and their servants. And it's going to be the launching pad. What I do in people is going to be a launching pad to touching even more people. So you cannot be a servant of Jesus and not be a servant who brings justice to other people. That would be like the wicked servant who was forgiven his massive debt and then refusing to release a person who owed a very small amount of money compared to what the other guy owed. That's not justice. Being forgiven and then not forgiving is not justice. And so Jesus is, his ministry was always about bringing forth justice to the Gentiles. And so no matter who you are, there is salvation found in no other name but the name of Jesus. No one comes to the Father but by him. Who? Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So he brings forth justice to the Gentiles. And because he's doing that, these are some of the things that he will not do. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice. What I want you to see is that because we're interested in bringing justice, it says he will not cause his voice to be heard in the street, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Because he has a ministry to bring justice to people who have not experienced justice, and sometimes were actually agents of injustice themselves. The Assyrians were a cruel, vicious people. You know, and that was why Jonah was sent to go to Nineveh. You know what Jonah said when God told him to go to Nineveh? No, not going. You know why he said no? He said, because I knew that you were going to forgive them. If they repented, you were going to forgive them, and I didn't want that. And so Jonah would have rather died in the ocean than had gone and preached and repentance to the Assyrians. But God eventually changed his heart enough for him to go preach a revival. 120,000 people have an encounter with him, and Jonah's upset about it. Can you imagine the pastor on Sunday morning? Can you imagine him on Monday morning talking with somebody and they said, well, how did things go yesterday? Terrible. Really, what happened? Everybody responded to the altar call. Everybody gave their heart to Jesus. Everybody's lives were transformed. Well, why is that terrible? Well, some of those people I didn't like. You know, that's just stupid. It's just stupid. So Jesus says, because I'm going to bring forth justice, there are some things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to make it about my voice crying out. I'm not going to be crying out, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. I'm not going to be a person who is seeking attention. Jesus, you know, if you remember, his brothers came to him and said, hey, if you're going to really shake up society, what you need to do is you need to go and you need to make your voice heard during this festival. You need to be seen. And he said, the time's not right for me to go. He went a little bit later, but he went in a manner. There were many times when he told a person, he healed this blind guy, and he said, don't tell anybody. The blind guy went out and told everybody, and people started gathering around, and it got to the point where Jesus couldn't minister. See, we're right now looking at the Sermon on the Mount. You might think that we're so far down this rabbit trail that I forgot where we are. I haven't. But there were some large events that Jesus ministered to where there were thousands and thousands of people, but there much of his ministry was done in an individualized setting. If it got to where the crowds were there for the wrong reason, Jesus would just withdraw himself to the mountain. He'd go spend some time with God in prayer. I want to focus on a couple of things here in verse 3. It says, he will not, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Jesus was never, ever going to give the devil the satisfaction of breaking. And his fire was never going to go out. Do you know that you and I have the responsibility to stir up the gift that is within us? Okay? You just need to have the same mindset that Christ had, and that is, no matter how intense the battle gets, no matter how isolated you might feel, I'm never giving up. I am not throwing in the towel. I am going to say, I have finished my course. I have fought the fight, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You and I, we need to make sure that we don't just start well, but we finish well, and let's go out of ministry, or be promoted into the presence of the Lord, doing the work of God. You know, Jesus was ministering to people right up to some of his final breaths. Set a thief on the cross and set him free. Said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Gave him a whole new destination. I read a book that talked about the first person to experience the grace and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ was this thief on the cross who's like, what am I, you know, how did I get here? I didn't, you know, if it was about works, you know, there are a lot of people that think that justice is about whether good works or are going to outweigh bad works on the fulcrum of justice. And it's not that at all. That guy had lived like a thief most of his life. And yet making the right decision when he had the opportunity to make the right decision changed his eternal destiny. The verse 3 ends, he will bring forth justice for truth, things that he does do. He brings forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice for the truth. And it says, he will not fail nor be discouraged. We sing a song, my God has never failed me yet. Something along those lines. I'm not the worship leader anymore. Praise the Lord. But he has never failed. God does not fail. Even when it looks like the enemy has been victorious and God has been defeated, you come to find out that God still had a massive, massive play that had not been made, and it renders the battle victorious in God's favor. He will not fail, and I want to show you this as well. He will not be discouraged. Do you know that Barnabas was called the son of encouragement? He encouraged people. There are some people that have the gift of discouragement. Oh, you can never do that. You can't do that. You know, you failed at everything that you've put your hands to. And I want to tell you, if you're surrounded by discouraging people, you need to surround yourself with some different people, people who will encourage you, excuse me, instead of discourage you. And you also need to make this decision that says, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to let the devil drain courage out of me. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples did a miracle. They got in trouble for doing the miracle. They were told, don't do any more miracles. And they said, well, we're going to keep doing the miracles. And let me see if I can find the passage. Oh, okay. Let me read to you Acts chapter 4, verse number 18. It says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant. Now, did you get that? Now, look, Lord. Lord, look on their servant, on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Be strong and of good courage. How many times in the Word of God do you find that? You cannot come into the presence of God and have God minister to you and leave discouraged. Elijah saw great miracles and great victories. And then at the threat of Jezebel, he goes running off defeated. And he said, it's hopeless. I'm all by myself, even though I know I'm not. And God, I just want to die. I just want to die. And an angel comes and ministers to him. Elijah didn't even have the strength to make it all the way to the place where God wanted to meet him. And so he fell asleep, and the angel showed up and fixed him food. And he fell asleep again, and the angel fixed him more food, and he had enough strength to get there. And you know what God said when he got there? Why are you here? Why are you here? And he started into how bad things were in society. And God encouraged him, and he ended up going back and accomplishing more things. Do not be discouraged until he, Jesus, has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for. I want you to know something. Justice is not just for other communities. Justice is for our community. Do not quit. If you are a believer and you've got a spouse that is an unbeliever, or you've got family members that are an unbeliever, you do not quit believing for their salvation. Do not be discouraged. Don't get concerned about how long the battle has taken. Just look to the one who is going to bring the victory. Say, God, you have equipped me for this. Now, I do encourage you to do this. God, I need to know what your strategy is. And here's what you'll find. I was reading through the New Testament, and it was talking about wives who had unbelieving husbands. And basically what it said this was, live out the gospel. Make sure that you are a living example of a just and holy God. Make sure that you take your relationship with him seriously and say, because of who he is, I don't do. You know, there's a lot of things on this list. There are some things that Jesus did, and we can focus on those, and there are some things that Jesus didn't do, and we can focus on those as well. But it's really both. It's really both. And I know a lot of people, they want to start saying, well, I can do anything. But the scripture says it's not always beneficial. It's not always beneficial for you, and it's not always beneficial for other people around you. So, you know what? I don't want to be guilty of providing an excuse for other people to not believe in Jesus. I want to live my life in such a way that people will want to put faith in Jesus. So I'm, in all honesty, probably don't always succeed, but you know what? God will pour his Spirit out upon me again, and we will go about bringing forth to the Gentiles. We'll go about bringing justice to the furthest extremities of the earth, to the nearest extremities of earth, and we will also focus on being an agent of justice and a practitioner of justice in our own life. Okay? So whether it's people who look like you, talk like you, participate in the same activities as you, whether it's that or a person that you don't have anything in common with, understand this. God created them and doesn't want them to perish. He wants all to have everlasting life. You might be listening to this right now, and you might be like a couple of friends of mine. They experienced people who proclaimed one thing with their lips and lived something different. There are a couple of friends of mine that say, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, but you know what? I'm intent on living out in front of them what the reality of Jesus looks like, not the bad example. Be the good example, not the bad example. If you have had poor representation of what the justice of God looks like, I want to ask you to pray and ask God to give you a better visual, a better living example. And I will tell you, Jesus lives up to God's justice system. And I know a lot of other people do. There are a lot of people say, oh, pastors and churches, they're just in it for the money and all that sort of stuff. You know what? There may be some churches like that. There may be some pastors like that. But I can tell you that most pastors that I know, most ministers that I know, are in the ministry because they love God and they love people and they want to see people come to know Jesus the way that he truly is, not the way that he gets represented sometimes. God bless you. I pray that you have a great day. We'll move on to another passage in the book of Isaiah tomorrow. But until then, we'll see you right here on the Refresh radio program. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Place I've fallen.